in a loving way.
It was nice to sleep.
He lightens the mood slightly, and I nod in agreement. Where do you want to go for breakfast? I ask him.
You said no, that you...
I changed my mind. I'm hungry. After his being so open with me about his nightmares, I want to spend the morning with him. Maybe he'll continue the open line of communication. I usually have to fight him for any type of information, but he confessed this willingly, and that means the world to me.
So easily persuaded by my pathetic story?
He raises a brow. Don't say that, I scowl.
Why not?
He sits up and climbs off of the bed. Because it's not true. It wasn't what you told me that changed my mind, but that you shared that with me. And don't call yourself pathetic. That's certainly not true. My feet hit the floor as he pulls his jeans up over his legs. Harden, I say when he doesn't reply.
Tessa,
he mocks me in a high-pitched voice. I mean it. You shouldn't think of yourself like that.
I know,
he says quickly, abruptly ending the conversation. I know Harden is far from perfect and he has his flaws, but so does everyone else, especially me. I wish he was able to see past his flaws. Maybe that would help resolve his issues about the future.
So anyway, do I have you all day or just for breakfast?
He bends down to push his foot into his shoe. I like those shoes. I've been meaning to tell you. I point to the solid black tennis shoes he's putting on.
Thanks.
He laces them and stands back up. For someone with such a big ego, he's terrible at accepting compliments.
You still didn't answer me.
Just breakfast. I can't miss all my classes. I pull his shirt over my head and replace it with one of my own.
Okay.
I just need to pull my hair back and brush my teeth, I say after I'm finished getting dressed. As I begin to scrub my tongue, Harden knocks at the door. Come in, I mumble through the paste in my mouth.
It's been a while since we've done this,
he tells me. Had sex in the bathroom? I ask. Why did I just say that?
No. I was going to say brushed our teeth together.
He laughs and opens one of the packs of toothbrushes from the cabinet.
However, if bathroom sex is something you want...
Harden teases, and I roll my eyes. I don't know why I said that. It was the first thing that came to my mind. I have to laugh at my stupidity and quick tongue.
Well, that's good to hear.
He dips the brush under the faucet and doesn't say another word. After both of us brush our teeth and I attempt to comb my hair into a ponytail, we head downstairs. Karen and Landon are in the kitchen talking over bowls of oatmeal. Landon gives me a warm smile. He doesn't seem too surprised by seeing Harden and me together. Karen doesn't either. If anything, I think she looks... pleased? I can't tell because she brings her coffee cup to her mouth to hide her smile.
I'm taking Tessa to campus today,
Harden tells Landon.
Okay. Ready?
Harden turns to me, and I nod. I'll see you in religion, I tell Landon, before Harden drags me, literally, out of the kitchen. What's the rush? I ask him once we're outside. He grabs my bag from my shoulder as we walk down the driveway.
Nothing, but I know you two. If you start talking, we'll never make it out of there. And when you add Karen into the mix, I'd starve to death before you shut up.
He opens the car door for me before walking around to open his own and climb in. True, I smile. We debate over IHOP or Denny's for at least 20 minutes before deciding on IHOP. Harden claims that they have the best French toast, but I refuse to believe it until I eat it. It'll be 10 to 15 minutes before you can be seated, a short woman with a blue scarf around her neck tells us when we walk inside. Okay, I say at the same time that Harden says,
Why?
We're busy and there aren't any tables open at the moment, she explains sweetly. Harden rolls his eyes and I pull him away from her to sit at the bench in the entryway. It's nice to see you're back, I tease.
What's that mean?
I just mean you've still got your edge.
When didn't I?
I don't know, when we went on our date, and a little last night.
I trashed that bedroom and cussed you out,
he reminds me. I know, I'm trying to make a joke.
Well, try making a good one next time,
he says, but I see the glint of a smile appear. When we're finally seated, we give our order to a young guy with a beard that seems to be a little too long for someone who's working as a waiter. After he walks off, Harden complains and swears that if he finds a hair in his food, he's going to lose it.
Just to show you that I still have my edge,
he reminds me, and I giggle. I love that he's trying to be a little nicer, but I also love his attitude and the way he doesn't care what people think of him. I wish more of those qualities would rub off on me. He runs through a list of other things that are bothering him about the place until our food arrives.
Why can't you just miss the entire day?
Hardin asks, as he shovels a fork full of French toast into his mouth. Because, I begin, oh, you know, because I'm transferring to another campus and I don't want to complicate things by losing any participation points before I transfer in the middle of the semester. I don't want to lose my A's, I tell him.
This is college. No one goes to class,
he tells me for the 100th time since I met him. Aren't you excited about yoga? I laugh.
No, not at all.
We finish breakfast and the mood is still light as Hardin drives toward the campus. His phone vibrates on the console, but he ignores it. I want to answer for him, but we're getting along so well. The third time it rings, I finally speak up. Aren't you going to answer that? I ask him.
No, it'll go to voicemail. It's probably my mum.
He lifts the phone to show me the screen.
See? She left a voicemail. Can you check it?
He asks. My curiosity gets the best of me, and I snatch the phone from his hands.
Speakerphone,
he reminds me. You have 7 new voicemails, the robotic voice announces as he parks the car. He groans.
This is why I never check them.
I press the numeral 1 to listen to them. Hardin? Hardin, it's Tessa. I try to press the end button, but Hardin grabs the phone from my hand. Oh, God. Well, I need to talk to you. I'm in my car, and I'm so confused. My voice is hysterical, and I want to jump out of the car. Please turn it off, I beg him, but he shifts the phone into his other hand so I can't reach it.
What is this?
He asks, staring at the phone. Why haven't you even tried? You just let me leave, and here I am pathetically calling you and crying into your voicemail. I need to know what happened to us. Why was this time different? Why didn't we fight it out? Why didn't you fight for me? I deserve to be happy, Hardin. My idiotic voice fills the car, trapping me inside. I sit in silence and stare down at my hands in my lap. This is humiliating. I'd nearly forgotten about the voicemail, and I wish he hadn't heard it, especially not now.
When was this?
While you were gone. He lets out a deep breath and ends the call.
What were you confused about?
He asks. I don't think you want to talk about it. I pull my lip between my teeth.
Yes, I do.
Hardin unbuckles his seatbelt and turns to face me. I look up at him and try to think of how to phrase this. That hideous voicemail is from the night I kissed him.
Oh.
He turns his face away from me. Breakfast went so well, only to be ruined by my stupid voicemail that I left in the middle of an emotional tidal wave. I shouldn't be held accountable.
Before or after you kissed him?
After.
How many times did you kiss him?
Once.
Where?
My car, I squeak.
Then what? What did you do after you left this?
He holds the phone in the air between us. Went back to his apartment. As soon as the words leave my mouth, Hardin rests his forehead against the steering wheel. I begin. He raises his finger to silence me.
What happened at his apartment?
He closes his eyes. Nothing. I cried and we watched television.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. I slept on the couch. The only time I slept in his room was the time you showed up there. I haven't done anything with him except kiss him, and a few days ago when I met him for lunch, he tried to kiss me and I pulled away.
He tried to kiss you again?
Shit. Yes, but he understands the way I feel about you. I know I made a huge mess of all of this, and I'm sorry for even spending time with him. I don't have a good reason or excuse, but I'm sorry.
You remember what you said, right? That you'll stay away from him?
His breathing is controlled. Too controlled, as he lifts his head from the wheel. Yes, I remember. I don't like the idea of being told who I can be friends with, but I can't say I wouldn't expect the same from him if the roles were reversed, which they have been a lot lately.
Now that I know the details, I don't want to talk about it again, okay? I mean it. Like, I don't even want to hear his fucking name come out of your mouth.
He's trying to stay calm. Okay, I agree, and reach across to grab his hand in mine. I don't want to talk about it anymore either, We've both said all we can say about the subject, and going back over it will only cause more unnecessary problems for us and our already damaged relationship. It's sort of a relief to be the cause of the problem this time, because the last thing Hardin needs is another reason to despise himself.
"We better get to class,"
he finally says. My heart sinks at his cool tone, but I keep my mouth shut as he withdraws his hand from mine. Hardin walks me to the philosophy building, and I scan the street for Landon, but don't see him. He must be inside already. "Thank you for breakfast," I say, and take my bag from Hardin's hand.
"It's nothing."
He shrugs, and I attempt to smile before turning to walk away. A hand presses into my arm, and even before his mouth forcefully presses against mine, he's claimed me in the only way he can.
"I'll see you after class. I love you,"
he breathes and withdraws, leaving me panting and smiling as I head inside.
Chapter 118. Hardin. I listen to that voicemail for the fifth time as I walk down the campus sidewalk. She sounds so miserable and upset. In a fucked-up way, it makes me happy to hear it, to hear the anguish and pure sadness in her voice as she cries into my ear. I wanted to know if she was as miserable without me as I was without her, and here is the proof that she was. I know I forgave her quickly for kissing that asshole, but what else was I supposed to do? I can't be without her, and we've both done some fucked up shit, not only her. This is his fault, anyway. He knew how fucking vulnerable she would be when we split. I know he fucking knew that. He saw her crying and shit. Then he goes and kisses her a week after she left me. What kind of fucking dickhead does that? He took advantage of her, of my Tessa, and I won't fucking have it. He thinks he's so smooth and he gets away with shit, but not any fucking more. "Where's Zed Evans?" I ask a short blonde girl sitting by a tree near the Environmental Studies building. Why the fuck is there a giant-ass tree in the middle of this stupid-ass building anyway?
"In the plant room, number 218,
she informs me with a shaky voice. I finally reach the room with 218 printed on the door and open it before I can think about my promise to Tessa. I wasn't actually going to leave him alone anyway, but hearing how distraught she was on the night she was with him made it 10 times worse for him. The room is full of rows of plants. Who would want to mess with this shit all day for a living?
"What are you doing here?"
I hear him before I lay eyes on him. He's standing next to a large box or some shit. When he steps out, I take a step toward him.
"Don't play fucking stupid. You know exactly what I'm doing here."
He smiles.
"No, sorry, I don't. The study of botany doesn't require psychic powers."
He mocks me with those dumb fucking goggles on his head.
"You actually have the nerve to be a smug asshole about it?" "About what?" "Tessa! I'm not being a dick at all. You're the one treating her like shit, so don't get pissed when she runs to me because of it." "Are you that fucking stupid to mess with what is mine?"
He backs away and walks down the aisle next to me.
"She isn't yours. You don't own her,"
he challenges. I reach across the boxes of plants to wrap my hand around his neck and slam his face into the metal barrier between us. I hear a crisp snap, so I already know what happened. But when he lifts his head up and shouts,
"You broke my fucking nose!"
while struggling to get out of my grip, I have to admit that the amount of blood pouring from his face is a little alarming.
"I already warned you over and over for fucking months now to stay away from Tessa. But then what do? You fucking kiss her? Have her sleep in your goddamn bed?"
I stride down the aisle to get to him again. His hand is covering his broken nose as blood pours down his face.
"And I already fucking told you that I don't give a fuck what you've got to say,"
he snarls, taking a step toward me.
"You just broke my fucking nose!"
he yells again. Tessa is going to fucking kill me. I should just leave now. He deserves to get his ass beat again. But she's going to be furious.
You've done worse shit to me! You keep messing with my girlfriend!
I shout back.
She isn't your girlfriend! And I haven't even begun to mess with her yet! Are you actually fucking threatening me right now? I don't know! Am I?
I take another step toward him, and he surprises me by swinging on me. His fist connects with my jaw, and I stagger backward, knocking into a wooden box of plants. They crash to the ground, and as I recover, he swings again in a fury. But this time I'm able to block him and stumble to the side.
You thought I was just a bitch, didn't you?
He grins a deranged and bloody grin and continues to walk toward me.
You really thought you were a badass, didn't you?
He laughs, pausing to spit blood onto the white tile floor. My fingers wrap around the material of his lab coat, and I push him into another row of plants. The plants and our bodies hit the ground. I climb on top of him, making sure not to let him be in control. Out of the corner of my eye, I see him raise his arm, but by the time I realize what's happening, he slammed one of the small pots against the side of my head. My head jerks and I blink rapidly to restore my vision. I'm stronger than him, but it seems he's a better fighter than he had led me to believe. But there's no way in hell I'm letting him get the best of me.
I already fucked her, anyway!
He chokes as I grab hold of his hair and slam his head into the floor. At this point, I don't give a fuck if I kill him or not.
No, you didn't!
I scream.
Yes, I did. She was nice and tight, too.
His voice is strangled and choppy, spitting out its venom with my hands still on his face. My fist snaps his head to the side, and he half screams from the pain. And for a brief moment, I consider gripping his broken nose between my fingers to cause him even more. His feet kick frantically under me to try to lift my body from his. Images of Zed touching Tessa are fueling me, pushing me further than I've ever been pushed before. His hands grip my arms, trying to lift my body from his.
You will never fucking touch her again!
I say, and bring a hand to his throat.
If you think you're going to take her from me, you're fucking wrong!
I tighten my grip around his neck. His bloody face is turning red and he tries to speak, but I only hear broken gasps for air.
What the hell is going on in here?
A male voice shouts behind me. When I turn my head around to see who the voice belongs to, Zed attempts to wrap his hand around my neck. Not fucking happening. Another punch to his cheek is all it takes for his arms to drop to the floor next to his sides. A hand wraps around my arm and I shove it off.
Call campus security!
The voice says, and I hurry to climb off of Zed.
Fuck! No, don't!
I say and stumble to my feet.
What's going on? Get out of here! Go wait in the other room!
The middle-aged man yells, but I don't move. I assume he's a professor.
Fuck! He came in here and attacked me,
Zed says, then starts to cry. He literally starts to cry. His hand is covering his swollen and crooked nose as he stands to his feet. His face is bloody, his lab coat is splattered with red, and his smug smile has evaporated. With an air of authority, the man points at me and commands,
Stand against the wall until the police arrive! I mean it! Don't move an inch!
Fuck! The campus police are coming! I'm so fucking screwed! Why the fuck did I come here in the first place? I promised to stay away from him if she would. Now that I've broken another one of my promises, will she break hers?
Chapter 119, Tessa. When my pen presses to the paper, I have every intention of writing about my grandmother and how she dedicated her life to Christianity, but somehow Hardin's name appears in black ink.
Ms. Young,
Professor Soto's voice says gently, though loudly enough for everyone in the first row to hear. Yes? I look up and my attention is immediately brought to Ken. Why is Ken here?
Tessa, I need you to come with me,
he says. And the annoying blonde behind me makes an ooh sound like we're back in the sixth grade. She most likely doesn't even know who he is, that Ken is the chancellor of the college.
What's going on?
Landon asks Ken as I get to my feet and begin to gather my things.
We can talk about it outside.
Ken's voice is unsteady.
I'm coming,
Landon says and stands as well. Professor Soto looks at Ken.
Is that okay with you? Yes, he's my son,
he tells him, and our teacher's eyes go wide.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. She's your daughter?
He asks him.
No,
Ken says tersely. He appears panicked, which is starting to scare me. Is Harden? I begin to ask, but Ken guides me out the door with Landon behind me.
Harden's been arrested,
Ken tells us as soon as we get outside. I can't breathe. He's what?
He's been arrested for fighting and for vandalizing campus property.
Oh my God, is the only thing I can think to say.
When? How?
Landon asks.
About 20 minutes ago. I'm trying my best to keep this matter within the campus jurisdiction, but he isn't making it easy.
Ken hurries across the street, and I nearly have to run to catch up with him. My mind is racing. Harden arrested? Oh my God. How could he get arrested? Who did he fight? But I already know the answer to that question. Why couldn't he just keep his cool for once? Is Harden okay? Will he go to jail? Real jail? Is that okay? Ken unlocks his car's doors and the three of us get inside.
Where are we going?
Landon asks.
To campus security.
Is he okay? I ask.
He's got a cut across his cheek and another on his ear, or so I've heard. You heard? You haven't seen him yet?
Landon asks his stepfather.
No, I haven't. He's throwing a fit, so I knew it would be better to get Tessa first.
He nods his head in my direction.
Yeah, good idea.
Landon agrees, and I stay quiet. A cut across his head and face? I hope he isn't in pain. Oh my God, this is all so crazy. I should have just agreed to spend the entire day with him. If I had, he wouldn't have even been on campus today. Ken zooms down several back streets, and within 5 minutes we're parking in front of the small brick building that houses campus security. There's a no parking sign directly in front of where he parks, but I suppose parking wherever you like is one of the perks of being the chancellor. The three of us hurry inside the building, and my eyes immediately start scanning for any sign of Harden, but I hear him first.
I don't give a fuck. You're nothing more than a douchebag with a fake badge. You're basically a mall cop, you fucking prick.
I follow his voice and turn down the hall in pursuit of him. I hear Ken and Landon on my heels, but all I care about is getting to Harden. I come to where several people are gathered and see Harden pacing back and forth inside a small cell. Holy shit. His arms are behind his back in handcuffs.
Fuck you, all of you,
he yells.
Harden.
His father's voice booms from behind me. My angry boy's head snaps to the side, to where I'm standing, and his eyes go wide immediately. His face is split open just below his cheekbone, and his skin is sliced from his ear to the back of his head. His hair is matted with blood.
I'm trying to contain this, and you aren't helping,
Ken barks at his son.
They have me trapped in here like some fucking animal. This is bullshit. Call whoever you need to call and get them to unlock this shit,
Harden yells, attempting to tear his hands from the cuffs. Stop it, I say to him and scowl. Immediately his demeanor changes. He calms a little but is no less angry.
Tessa, you shouldn't even be here. What kind of genius fucking idea was it to bring her?
Harden hisses at his father and Landon. Harden, stop it now. He's trying to help you. You need to calm down, I say through the bars. This doesn't feel real, talking to him while he's literally in a cell in handcuffs. This can't be real. But then again, this is what happens in the real world. You get arrested if you assault someone, on campus just as anywhere else. As he looks at my eyes, I imagine he sees the pain I feel for him right now. I want to think that's why he finally gives in and softly nods and says,
Okay. Thank you, Tessa,
Ken says. Then he warns his son,
Give me a few minutes to see what I can do. In the meantime, you need to stop yelling. You're making this worse for yourself when you're already in a load of trouble.
Landon looks to me, then to Harden before following Ken back down the narrow hallway. I hate this place already. Everything is too white and black, too small, and it smells like bleach. The campus security officers that sit behind the desk are immersed in their own conversation at the moment, or at least they've begun pretending to be since the chancellor of the school showed up to deal with his son. What happened? I ask Harden.
I got arrested by campus security.
He huffs. Are you okay? I ask him, desperately wanting to reach through and wipe his face.
Me? Yeah, I'm fine. It's not so bad as it looks,
he answers, and examining him, I can see he's right. I can tell from here that the cuts aren't deep. His arms have light red streaks on them, mixing with the black ink to form a rather terrifying sight.
Are you upset with me?
His voice is soft, 1,000 degrees from where it was moments ago while he was screaming at the police. I don't know, I answer honestly. Of course I'm upset with him, because I know who he fought. Well, it isn't hard to guess. But I'm also worried about him, and I want to know what happened that led him to be in all of this trouble.
I couldn't help it,
he says, as if that justifies his actions. I told you before I wouldn't visit you in a jail cell, remember? I frown, looking around the cell he's in.
This doesn't count. It's not a real cell.
It looks real to me. I tap on the metal bars to prove my point.
It's not an actual jail. This is just a bullshit holding cell until they decide to involve the real police.
He says loud enough for the two officers to look up from their conversation. Stop it. This isn't a joke, Harden. You could be in a lot of trouble. Hearing that, he rolls his eyes. That's the problem with Harden. He hasn't quite realized that his actions have consequences. Chapter 120. Tessa. Who started it? I ask, trying my best not to jump to conclusions like I normally do. Harden tries to meet my eyes, but I look away.
I went to find him after I walked you to class,
he says. You promised me that you'd leave him alone.
I know.
So why didn't you?
He was pushing it. He started provoking me, saying that he fucked you.
He looks at me with a wild desperation.
You aren't lying about that, are you?
He asks, and I nearly lose it. I'm not answering that question again. I already told you that nothing happened between us, and here you are in a freaking jail cell asking such a thing, I say with frustration. He rolls his eyes and sits down on the small metal bench inside the holding cell. He's really pissing me off. Why did you go find him? I want to know.
Because he needed his ass beat, Tessa. He needs to know that he isn't to come near you again. I'm sick of his fucking games and the way he thinks he has some sort of fucking chance with you. I did this for you.
I cross my arms over my chest. How would you feel if I'd been the one to go find him today after I told you I wouldn't? I thought we were both trying to make this work, and here you blatantly lied to my face. You knew you weren't going to hold up your end of the deal, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, okay? It doesn't matter now. What's done is done.
He huffs like an angry child. It matters to me, Harden. You keep getting yourself in trouble when it's not necessary.
It's very necessary, Tess.
Where's Zed now? Is he in jail too?
This isn't jail.
Harden!
I don't know where he is, nor do I give a shit. And neither do you. You aren't going near him.
Stop being like this. Stop telling me what I can and can't do. It's really pissing me off.
Are you cursing at me?
He says with an amused smirk. Why does he think this is funny? It's anything but funny. I begin to walk away from him and the smile disappears from his lips.
Tessa, come back,
he says, making me turn around. I'm going to find your father to see what's going on.
Tell him to hurry up.
I growl at him, literally, as I walk away. He thinks just because his father is the chancellor, he's going to get out of this easily, and honestly, I really hope he does. But it's still nerve-wracking how lightly he's taking the whole thing.
What the fuck are you looking at?
I hear him say to a cop, and I rub my fingers over my temples. I find Ken and Landon standing next to an older man with gray hair and a mustache. He's wearing a tie and black dress pants, and the way he's holding himself gives me the feeling that he's important. When Landon notices me standing in the hall, he walks over to me. Who's that? I ask him quietly.
He's the provost.
That's the vice chancellor, right? Landon looks worried.
Yeah.
What's going on? What are they saying? I try to hear the two men talking, but I can't make out anything.
Well, it's not looking good. There was a lot of damage done to the lab that Zed was in. I'm talking thousands of dollars worth of damage. On top of that, Zed has a broken nose and a concussion. Someone drove him to the hospital.
My blood begins to boil. Hardin didn't just push Zed around. He seriously injured him.
Also, Hardin shoved a professor to the floor. There's a girl who's in Zed's class that already wrote a statement saying Hardin came in there looking for Zed specifically. It's looking really bad right now. Ken's trying his best to keep Hardin out of jail, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Landon sighs, running his fingers through his hair.
The only thing that can keep him out of jail is if Zed decides to not press charges. Even then, I don't know what'll happen.
My head is spinning.
Expulsion,
I hear the gray-haired man say, and Ken rubs his hand over his chin. Expulsion? Hardin can't get expelled from school. Oh my God, this is a mess.
He's my son,
Ken says quietly, and I take a sly step closer to them.
I know he is, but assaulting a professor and damaging school property isn't something we can just brush aside,
the man says. Damn Hardin and his temper. This is a disaster, I tell Landon, and he nods sullenly. I want to throw myself on the floor and cry, or better yet, I want to stomp over to Hardin's cell and punch him in the face. Neither of those things will help.
Maybe you should talk to Zed about not pressing charges,
Landon suggests. Hardin will freak out if I go anywhere near him. Not that I should even listen to him, since he doesn't listen to me.
I know,
Landon replies,
but I don't know what else to suggest at this point.
I guess you're right. I look back at Ken, then down the hall to where Hardin is. Hardin is my first priority, but I do feel awful for what he did to Zed, who I hope is going to be okay. Maybe if I go talk to him, he'll decide not to press charges, which would at least eliminate one problem. Where is he? Do you know? I ask Landon.
I think I overheard them say he's at Grandview Hospital.
Okay, well, I'll go there first.
Do you need a ride back to your car?
Shit, I didn't drive. Landon digs his hand into his pocket and hands me his keys.
Here, just drive carefully.
I smile at my best friend. Thanks. I have no idea what I would do without him, but since he's leaving soon, I guess I'll have to find out. The thought saddens me, but I push it back. I can't think about Landon's leaving right now.
I'll go talk to Hardin and let him know what's going on.
Thank you again. I wrap my arms around Landon's neck in a tight hug. Just as I reach the door, Hardin's voice booms down the hall.
Tessa, don't you fucking dare go find him,
he screams. I ignore him and open the double doors.
I mean it, Tessa. Come back in here.
The cold air drowns out his loud voice as I walk outside. How dare he tell me what to do like that? Who does he think he is? He's made a huge mess because he can't control his temper and jealousy. I'm trying to help clean up this mess. He's lucky I didn't slap him for breaking his promise to me. God, he's so frustrating. When I arrive at Grandview, the woman at the nurse's station doesn't want to give me any information on Zed. She won't confirm if he's here now or tell me if he's been here at all. He's my boyfriend, and I really need to see him, I tell the young bottle blonde. She obnoxiously pops her chewing gum and twirls a lock of her hair between her fingers. He's your boyfriend? The kid with all the tattoos? She laughs, obviously not believing me. Yes, he is. My tone is clipped, nearly threatening, and I'm surprised at how intimidating I actually manage to sound. It must work because she shrugs and says, "Go down the hall and make a right, first door on the left," before wandering off. Well, that wasn't too hard. I should be more forceful more often. I do as she told me and approach the first door on the left. It's closed, so I knock lightly before entering. I hope she told me the right room. Zed is sitting on the edge of a hospital bed. He's shirtless, wearing only jeans and socks. His face. Oh my God. I can't help but blurt out as I take in his appearance. His nose is broken. I already knew that. But it looks so bad. It's so swollen and both his eyes are black. His chest is covered in bandages. The set of stars inked just below his collarbones is the only thing not covered in bandages or cuts. Are you okay? I walk over to the bed. I hope he's not angry with me for coming here to the hospital. This is my fault, after all.
Not really,
Zed says timidly. He lets out a deep breath and ruffles his hair before opening his eyes. He pats the bed next to him, and I walk over to sit beside him. I'm so sorry for this. Will you tell me what happened? Zed's caramel eyes meet mine, and he nods.
I was in the lab. Not the one I showed you, but our plant tissue lab. And he came in there and started telling me to stay away from you.
Then what?
I told him he doesn't own you, and he slammed my head against a metal bar.
I flinch at his words, looking at his nose. Did you tell him that you slept with me? I ask, unsure whether I believe this or not.
Yeah, I did. I'm really sorry for saying that, but you have to understand he was attacking me, and I knew that was the only way to get to him. I feel like such an asshole for saying it. I'm really sorry, Tessa.
He promised me that he'd stay away from you if I did too, I tell him.
Well, looks like he broke another promise, didn't he?
He says pointedly. I stay quiet for a minute and try to put the fight together in my head. I'm angry at Zed for telling Harden we slept together, but I'm glad he admitted it and apologized. I don't know which of these boys to be more angry with. It's hard to be angry at Zed as he sits here with so many injuries that I basically caused, and despite all of that, he's still being so kind to me. I'm sorry that this keeps happening because of me, I tell him.
It's not your fault. It's mine and his. He just views you as some sort of property and it pisses me off. You know what he said to me? He said that I should know better than to fuck with what's his. That's how he talks about you when you aren't around, Tessa.
His voice is soft and calm, totally unlike Harden's. I don't like the way Harden seems to think he owns me either, but it bothers me when someone else says it. Harden doesn't know how to handle his emotions, and he's never been in a relationship before. He's just territorial.
You can't really be defending him right now.
I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. I don't know what to think. He's in jail, well, in a holding cell on campus, and you're in the hospital. This is just too much for me. I know I shouldn't be complaining, but I'm so sick of this drama all the time. Every time I feel like I can breathe, something else happens. It's drowning me.
He's drowning you,
Zed corrects me. It's not only Harden that's drowning me. It's everything. It's this college, my so-called friends who betrayed me. Harden, Landon leaving me, my mother, Zed. I did this to myself, though. Zed says, not without a little annoyance,
Stop blaming yourself for his mistakes. He does this shit because he doesn't care about anyone but himself. If he cared about you, he'd have stayed away from me like he promised. He wouldn't have stood you up on your birthday. I could go on for ages.
Did you text me from his phone?
What?
He presses his palm to the bed to shift his body closer to mine.
Fuck,
he hisses from the pain. Do you need something? I can call a nurse, I offer, momentarily distracted.
No, I'm getting ready to leave here. They should be finishing up my discharge papers. Now, what were you saying about me texting you?
He asks. Harden seems to think you're the one who texted me on his birthday pretending to be him, so I thought he was coming, but he didn't know he was supposed to.
He's lying. I would never do that. Why would I?
I don't know. He thinks you're trying to make me hate him or something. Zed's gaze is too intense. I have to look away.
He's doing a pretty good job of that on his own, isn't he?
No, he's not, I counter. No matter how angry I am with him and how confused Zed's words are making me, I want to defend Harden.
He's only saying that so you'll think I'm some sort of villain when I'm not. I've always been here for you when he wasn't. He can't even keep a simple promise to you. He came in there and attacked me and a professor. He kept on saying he was going to kill me, and I really believed him. If Professor Sutton hadn't come in, he would have. He already knows he can take me. He's done it multiple times.
Zed shivers and stands to his feet. He grabs his green t-shirt from the chair and lifts his arms to pull it on.
Shit.
He drops it to the floor. I hurry to my feet to help him and grab the shirt from the ground. Lift as much as you can, I say, and he brings his arms straight forward in front of him to aid me in dressing him.
Thank you.
He tries to smile again. What hurts the most? I ask, assessing his swollen face again.
Rejection,
he timidly answers. Ouch. I look down at my hands and begin to pick at my fingers.
My nose,
he then offers, as a gesture to soften the moment.
When they had to set the broken bone.
Are you going to press charges against him? I finally ask what I came here to ask.
Yeah.
Don't, please. I stare into his eyes.
Tessa, you can't do this. It isn't fair.
I know. I'm sorry, but if you press charges, he'll go to jail. To real jail. The thought sends me into a panic again.
He broke my nose and I have a concussion. If he'd hit my head against that floor again, it would have killed me.
I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm begging you. Please, Zed. We're leaving anyway. I'm transferring to Seattle and Harden will be gone too. Zed looks at me with worry.
He's coming with you?
No. Well, yes. You won't have to worry about him anymore. If you don't press charges, you won't have to hear from him again. Zed looks at me through swollen eyes for a few seconds.
Fine,
he sighs.
I won't press charges against him. But please promise me that you'll really think about this. All of this. Think of how much easier your life would be without him, Tessa. He attacked me for no reason, and here you are cleaning up his mess, as always.
He says, utterly irritated. I don't blame him, though. I'm using the feelings he has for me against him to persuade him to not press charges against Harden. I will. Thank you so much, I tell him, and he nods.
I wish I had fallen in love with someone who could love me back.
He says so quietly that I barely hear him. Love? Zed loves me? I know he has feelings for me, but he loves me? His fight with Harden, the reason he's in the hospital right now, is my fault. But he loves me? He has a girlfriend, and I'm so back and forth with Harden. I look over at him and pray it's the pain medication speaking, not really him.
Chapter 121. Harden. I'll see you at home, Tessa, Landon says, as Tessa and I climb out of my dad's car and walk toward mine. I look back at him and mumble a nice, fuck you, under my breath. Leave him alone, she warns, and disappears into my car. When I get inside, I turn the heat up and look at her with thankfulness in my eyes. Thanks for coming home with me, even if it's just for the night. Tessa just nods and leans her cheek against the window. You okay? I'm sorry about today. I begin. She sighs, cutting me off.
I'm just tired.
2 hours later, Tessa is fast asleep on the bed, her arms hugging my pillow and her knees curled up to her chest. She's breathtaking, even when she's exhausted. It's still too early for me to go to sleep, so I go into the closet and grab the copy of Pride and Prejudice she gave me. Bright yellow marker covers much more of the book than I expected, so I lie next to her once again and begin to read the marked passages. One catches my eye. There are few people whom I really love, and still fewer of whom I think well. The more I see of the world, the more am I dissatisfied with it. And every day confirms my belief of the inconsistency of all human characters, and of the little dependence that can be placed on the appearance of merit or sense. This one is certainly from our earlier days. I can picture her now, annoyed and flustered, sitting on her tiny bed in that dorm with a highlighter and novel in hand. I glance over at her and chuckle lightly at her expense. Flipping through the pages, I see a pattern here. She despised me. I knew that then, but being reminded of it is pretty damn strange. An unhappy alternative is before you, Elizabeth. From this day you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never see you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins, and I will never see you again if you do. Her mother and Noah. Angry people are not always wise. Isn't that the truth? I have not the pleasure of understanding you. I didn't understand my own damn self, and still don't, really. I could easily forgive his pride, if he had not mortified mine. She did this the day I told her I loved her and took it back. I know she did. I must learn to be content with being happier than I deserve. Easier said than done, Tess. To be fond of dancing was a certain step toward falling in love. The wedding, I know it. I remember the way she beamed up at me and pretended not to be in pain as I stepped all over her shoes. We all know him to be a proud, unpleasant sort of man, but this would be nothing if you really liked him. This still applies. Landon would say some shit like this to Tessa. He probably has before. Till this moment, I never knew myself. I'm not sure which of us this applies to more. There is, I believe, in every disposition, a tendency to some particular evil, a natural defect, which not even the best education can overcome. And your defect is a propensity to hate everybody. And yours, he replied with a smile, is willfully to misunderstand them. Each part holds more truth than the last, as I skip back to the front section of the familiar novel. She is tolerable, but not handsome enough to tempt me, and I am in no humour at present to give consequence to young ladies who are slighted by other men. I had once told Tessa she wasn't my type. What a fucking idiot I was. I mean, look at her. She's everyone's type, even if they're too damn stupid to see it at first. My hands work the pages, and my eyes skim over countless marked lines that relate to the two of us and how she feels about me. This is the best gift I'll ever receive. That's for damn sure. You have bewitched me, body and soul. One of my favorite lines. I used it on her once, when we first moved into this place. She scrunched up her nose at my corny use of the line, laughed at me, and tossed a piece of broccoli at me. She's always throwing shit at me. But people themselves alter so much that there is something new to be observed in them forever. I have changed for the better, for her, since I met her. I'm not perfect, fuck, nowhere near, but I could be one day. How little of permanent happiness could belong to a couple who were only brought together because their passions were stronger than their virtue? I don't like this one at all. I know exactly what was going through her mind as she highlighted it. Moving on. A lady's imagination is very rapid. It jumps from admiration to love, from love to matrimony in a moment. At least it isn't just Tessa's mind that does this crazy shit. Only the deepest love will persuade me into matrimony. She left the rest of the sentence out, the part that says, which is why I shall end up an old maid. Only the deepest love can persuade me into matrimony. I'm not sure even that will do it for me. There is no possible way that there is a love deeper than what I feel for this girl. But it doesn't change my opinion on marriage. People don't get married for the right reasons anymore. Not that they ever did. In the past, it was for status or money. And now it's only to be sure you won't be lonely and miserable. Two things nearly every married person still feels anyway. I place the book on the bedside table before I switch off the light and lay my head flat on the mattress. I want to take my pillow back, but she's holding it too tight, and I don't want to be a dick. Would you please just stop being so stubborn and come to England with me? I can't be without you, I whisper to her in her sleep, running my thumb along the warm skin of her cheek. I'm looking forward to getting some sleep again. Real sleep, with her next to me.
Chapter 122, Tessa. When I wake up, Hardin is sprawled across the bed, one arm covering his face and the other hanging over the edge of the mattress. His t-shirt is soaked in sweat, and I feel disgusting. With a quick kiss to his cheek, I hurry to the bathroom. When I return from my shower, Hardin's awake, like he's been waiting for me. He leans up on his elbow.
I'm afraid to be expelled, he says.
His voice startles me, but his confession startles me even more. I sit next to him on the bed, and he doesn't even try to tear the towel from around my body. You are?
Yeah. I know it's stupid,
he begins. No, it's not stupid. Anyone would be afraid. I know I would be. It's okay to be afraid.
What will I do if I can't go to WCU anymore?
Go to another college.
I want to go back home,
he says, and my heart sinks. Please don't, I say quietly.
I have to, Tess. I can't afford university if my dad isn't the chancellor.
We could find a way.
No, this isn't your problem.
Yes, it is. If you go to England, we'll never see each other.
You have to come, Tessa. I know you don't want to, but you have to. I can't be away from you again. Please just come.
His words are so full of emotion that I can't seem to find mine. Harden, it's not that easy.
Yes, it is. It's easy. You could get a job doing exactly what you're doing now and possibly make even more money and go to an even better university.
Harden, I focus my eyes back on his bare skin. He sighs.
You don't have to decide right now.
I almost tell him that I'll pack my bags and go to England with him, but I can't. For now, I'll stay the coward that I am and push the news of Seattle back another day while I roll onto my side and he gathers me in his arms. For once, he's gotten me to crawl back into bed with him in the morning. Comforting him is more of a priority than my routine.
The owner, Drew, seems like a dick, but he's pretty cool,
Harden informs me as we approach the small brick building. A bell sounds above my head when Harden opens the door for me and we walk inside. Steph and Tristan are already there. Steph is seated on a leather chair and Tristan is looking through what appears to be a book of tattoos?
Took you long enough.
Steph kicks her leg out as Harden and I walk by and he grabs her boot in his hand before it touches me.
Already being annoying, I see.
He rolls his eyes and attempts to lead me over to Tristan, but I pull my hand from his and stand near Steph. She's fine with me, she tells him, and he scowls at her but doesn't say anything in return. Harden stands next to Tristan about 20 feet away, grabs a black book like the one Tristan has in his hands, and flips through the pages.
I haven't seen you in here before.
The guy looks up at me while he wipes the surface of Steph's bare stomach with a towel. I've never been here before, I reply.
Name's Drew. I own the place.
Nice to meet you. I'm Tessa.
Are you getting any work done today?
He smiles.
No, she's not.
Harden answers for me, wrapping his arm around my waist.
She's with you, Scott? Yeah, she is.
Harden pulls me closer. He's obviously doing this for show. He said that Drew seems like an asshole, but I don't get that vibe from him at all. He seems really nice.
Cool, cool. About time you got a girlfriend.
Drew laughs. Harden relaxes a little but keeps his arm around me.
So why don't you get something done, hombre?
A buzzing noise fills the space, and I look down at Steph's stomach to watch in amazement as the tattoo gun drags slowly across her skin. Drew wipes the excess ink off with a towel and continues.
I might, actually,
Harden tells him. I look up at Harden and his eyes meet mine. Really? What do you want to get? I ask him.
I don't know yet. Something on my back.
Harden's back is virtually the only part of his body that is completely ink-free. Really?
Yeah.
He rests his chin on top of my hair.
Speaking of getting work done, where the fuck are your rings?
Drew asks, dipping the gun into a small plastic cup full of black ink.
I'm over them.
Harden shrugs.
If he messes this up because you won't stop talking to him, you're paying for the whole thing.
Steph looks at Harden, and I laugh.
I'm not going to pay for that shit,
Harden and Drew say in unison. Tristan finally joins us and pulls a chair over to sit by Steph. He takes her hand in his. I look over at the small and freshly inked cluster of birds drawn into Steph's skin. It's sort of lovely, actually, the placement of them. Drew gives her a mirror so she can get a better look.
I love it.
She smiles, handing the mirror back to Drew before sitting up. What are you going to get, Harden? I ask him quietly.
Your name?
He smiles. Shocked, I step back from him with my jaw on the floor.
You wouldn't want that?
He asks. No. Gosh, no, that's... I don't know. That's insane, I whisper.
Insane? Not really. I'm just showing you that I'm committed to you and don't need a ring or marriage proposal to stay that way.
His voice is so clear that I'm no longer sure if he's joking. How did we go from joking to commitments and marriage in less than 3 minutes? This is how it always is with us, so I suppose I should be used to it by now.
Ready, Harden?
Sure.
Harden steps away from me and pulls his shirt over his head.
A quote?
Drew speaks my exact thoughts.
I just want it across the top of my back. It's, I never wish to be parted from you from this day on. Just make it like an inch in height. Do it in your cool freehand.
Harden instructs and turns his back to face Drew. I never wish to be parted from you from this day on. Harden, can we talk about this for a second, please? I ask him. I swear he knows about my plans to go to Seattle, and he's taunting me by getting this tattoo. The line he's chosen is perfect, but cruelly ironic, considering I've been withholding telling him about my move to Seattle.
No, Tess, I want to do it,
he says, dismissing me. Harden, I really don't think...
It's not a big deal, Tessa. It's not my first tattoo,
he jokes. I just...
If you don't shut up, I'll have your name and social security number printed across my entire back,
he threatens with a laugh. But I get the feeling he would actually go through with it to prove his point. I stay quiet to try to think about what to say. I should just blurt it out right now before the gun touches his clear skin. If I wait... The now familiar buzz of the gun sounds, and black ink litters Harden's back.
Now come over here and hold my hand,
he smirks, holding out his hand to me.
Chapter 123. Harden. Tessa shyly grasps my hand, and I pull her closer to me.
Stop moving! Drew snaps.
My bad.
Does it hurt?
She softly asks. The innocence in her eyes astounds me to this day. She was on her knees last night, and 20 hours later, she's speaking to me the way she would speak to a wounded child.
Yes, really fucking bad, I lie.
Really?
Worry flashes over her features. I love the feeling that comes with the needle transferring the ink to my skin. It's no longer painful. It's relaxing.
No, baby, it doesn't hurt,
I assure her. And Drew, being the dick he is, makes gagging noises behind my back. Tessa giggles, and I put my middle finger in the air. I didn't mean to call her baby just now, in front of Drew, but I don't really give a fuck what he thinks. And I know for a fact he's head over heels for the girl he just had a baby with a few months ago, so he can't say shit to me.
I still can't believe you're doing this,
she says, as Drew spreads the ointment over the new tattoo.
It's already done,
I remind her, and she looks worried as she stares at her phone screen. I hope Tess doesn't make too big of a deal out of this tattoo. It's not that serious. I have a shitload of tattoos. This one is for her, and I'm hoping she's excited about it. I know I am.
Where the fuck are Steph and Tristan?
I look out the windows of the shop in an attempt to spot Steph's bright-ass hair.
We can go next door and find them,
Tessa suggests, after I pay Drew and promise to come back and let him give me an entire back piece. I nearly knock his teeth out when he suggests giving Tessa a sleeve or belly piercing.
I think I would look cool with my nose pierced,
she smiles as we walk outside. I laugh at the thought and bring my arm around her waist as a bearded man stumbles past us. His jeans and shoes are dirty, and his thick sweatshirt is stained with liquid. From the smell of it, I assume vodka. Tessa stops next to me, and the man does the same. I gently pull her behind me. If this homeless drunk thinks he's coming any fucking closer to her, I will fucking... What she says next is spoken so softly that it comes out as a whisper, and I watch in confusion as all the color drains from her face.
Dad?
After
After We Collided was written by Anna Todd and read by Elizabeth Louise with Shane East. Post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, technical director. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. The mix engineer was Mike DeSima. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. After We Collided is available in print from Gallery Books. Also from Simon & Schuster Audio, After by Anna Todd, read by Elizabeth Louise.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.